Start recording. Okay, we're going to today we're going to talk about the pillars of Islam. The pillars of Islam. The pillars of Islam, they have to do with the action. Okay, the pillars of faith has to do with what?
The heart.
The heart. What do you believe in? But the pillars of Islam have to do with muscles, brains and muscles, like doing something, all right? Now, why is that? Because it's a hypocrisy to believe one way and act in another way. So you need to act the way you believe. And that is by doing the five pillars of Islam. Now, the first pillar, which is the Shahada. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he was a prophet, when he came to the Arab people, he was part of the Arab, part of the Mecca people, Quraysh. What did they think about him? Did they call him the liar or the honest?
The honest.
Did they call him the one who lies or the one who always says the truth?
Always says the truth.
Okay. Did they call him nice or rude?
Nice.
Kind or not kind?
Kind.
And then when he brought La ilaha illallah, suddenly the honest becomes a liar. And the one who says the truth becomes the one who make lies. So what happened? What's happening here? What happened? What made them have such a radical... Remember, he was living among them for 40 years. He was living among them for 40 years. 40. And they used to know him as a kind, as honest, as, you know, trustworthy and everything. And suddenly, he became the opposite. After 40 years. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet, revealed them, he said to the Prophet, well, you have been living among them. They know you. How come suddenly they flip-flop? They flip. Okay? Alright? So why was the reason? What's the reason for them to flip-flop like that? To flip? Huh?
So they could save their money and they wouldn't have to live in Allah. So they could keep on proceeding with their idol business.
Yes. But... Before we get into that, there was a reason. He brought them, La ilaha illallah. That's the only. So, they made him an enemy just because they brought them, La ilaha illallah. First, there was Allah at that point, there was no prayers. There were at the beginning, and there's no fasting, there's no zakat, there's no hajj. They got him, La ilaha illallah. Now, they started fighting him. Why? Did they start fighting him? Maham, she said one reason. What was that reason? Started fighting him?
So that they could save their idol business?
Exactly. Because every Arab has a middle god, has a statue in the Kaaba. So they come to visit their statue, which is their god, and ask the god to slaughter animals and slaughter, you know, whatever, camels or sheep, and then ask this middle god for things. Please feed us. Please bring rain. Please heal the sick. Please. Who is supposed to receive these dua? Allah. But somehow, as they can, you know, they have been brainwashed. Brainwashed to think that Allah is too big to listen to them. So when they pray to Allah, it's not listening. But when they pray to the idol is going to deliver the message to Allah on their behalf. So they ask who? They ask the idol instead of asking Allah. They slaughter to who? They slaughter to the idol instead of slaughtering to Allah. So this idol replaced Allah in everything. So now each tribe will come to visit the idol that they believe in, the idol. They come to visit this idol. And then when they come to visit the idol, they bring business with them. Trading, you know. Spending money, like when you go to Mecca for Hajj, you spend money, right? So they bring business with them. And then the Quraysh, the custodian of the Haram, the custodian of Kaaba, okay, benefits from that. So it becomes like New York City or something like that, when it's like everybody's heading there and making business while visiting their middle god or their idol. So they knew La ilaha illallah will cancel the idols. That's the first problem they had with it. And then they started finding the Prophet by saying, do you want to say that our forefathers were wrong? Do you say that we want to say that my father was wrong? Do you want to say that my father was following a false religion? Do you say that my father is in hellfire? So the Prophet says, my father and your father are in hell because they died as non-Muslims. Okay? And my own ancestors were wrong because they were following the worship of the idols.
Yeah. Wait, did you just say that the Prophet ﷺ's parents weren't Muslim? I thought they were.
Yeah. One died before the Prophet was born. That's his father. And his mother died when he was five.
But they still believed in Allah.
No, they worshipped the idols. And then the Prophet ﷺ, when his mother died, he asked Allah for two things. He asked that he visits the mother, the grave of his mother. And then the second thing is that he asks Allah to forgive her by making istighfar. Ya Allah, forgive her. Ya Allah, give her mercy. Ya Allah. So Allah granted the first one. Allah allowed him to visit the grave, but Allah denied the second one. He told him, do not make istighfar for her. Because she doesn't, she was born, she was dead as non-Muslim, and she doesn't qualify for this kind of like dua from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, so they knew, and they knew that, not only that, but they knew that if they believe that Muhammad's a prophet, then they become followers of Muhammad or leaders of Muhammad. Followers of Muhammad. Do they want to be Ayla? Do they get your head off the desk? Yes. Thank you. Did they want Muhammad to be their leader? They become their followers?
No.
No. And they said the clan of Bani Hashim, which is the clan of the Prophet, will be leaders because they have a prophet. Okay, they have a prophet, so they will become leaders because they will lead us through this prophet. And there was also race of honor. Like the family of Abu Jahl. You guys know Abu Jahl? The father of ignorance, Abu Jahl. The one who the Prophet Muhammad used to hate him so much that Prophet Muhammad hated him the most because he said that he's the Pharaoh of Muslim Ummah. He's the Pharaoh of my Ummah. He's like the fair. And Abu Jahl's clan used to compete with Prophet Muhammad's clan. So Abu Jahl, when Prophet Muhammad became a prophet, Abu Jahl said, Banu Hashim, which is Prophet Muhammad's clan, they feed the pilgrimage, the people who are doing pilgrimage, we do feed them as well. So that's a dye. They offer them housing, we do offer them housing as well. Now they say they have a prophet. Where are we going to have a prophet? We are not going to be able to have a prophet. Then we, in the name of God, we're not going to believe in this prophet. So deny the prophet just because of arrogance. And there are so many things that prevented them from La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allah is the only God. You go pray to Him directly. Anybody who gets in the middle between the relationship between you and Allah is trying to take advantage of you. You know how? You know how, girls? How come any person who is getting in the relationship between you and Allah can take advantage of you? How? Yes? Yes, but they will take advantage of you.
Because you start believing in someone else, it's not right.
They start believing in this middle god or idol. Okay? And then?
And then you would fall for like the tricks they're trying to play on you?
No, the idol. Go ahead.
It was like somebody would be like the spokesperson.
person who gave it up, and then they would say, give money or give something to
exactly.
Adam, and they take it.
Exactly. They would be controlled through this item.
Just a quick thing. I want to remind that they need to pray Zohar before they go home. You're already here, so pray in the Salah.
It's just 15 minutes after the class is over, we pray with the Jama'ah and go home. Okay? So, yes. So they take advantage of you because you are submissive to who? What's the name of Muslim mean? Not in English. Means submissive, right? And instead of being submissive to Allah, you'd be submissive to the third person who speaks on the behalf of the idol. So you'd be submissive to the idol. So whatever directions you get from the idols, okay, they become like directions coming from God. So do's and don'ts coming from God. Okay? Now, so this is why they hated La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Any questions about before we move to the second one? What's the second pillar of worship? Salah. That's right. In order to make you understand the importance of Salah, let me give you this example. Pay attention to this example. Okay? Let's say, who's going to college here? Near college. Let's say Maham, for example. She goes to a college, she goes to UC Vegas, or she goes to UC San Diego. Okay? Alright? And then she's living on by herself. You know, her parents are here. So her parents are going to send her money, right? So her dad's going to write a check and send it to her. Just imagine Maham is starting in August and her dad writes her a check and sends the check to her through mail. And then she doesn't call daddy to say, thank you! Uh-oh. Is that something nice? Huh? Is it something nice, Hannah? Remind me again. Ayla. Is this something nice? She goes to UC San Diego, her dad sends her a check, and she's not calling her dad to say thank you. What do you think about that? That's a terrible thing, right? Now, that's the check of August. Now, check of September, Allah, but Prophet, her father is sending her another check for September. And she did not call to thank you, father.
Be quiet.
Uh-oh. She's not calling her dad even when she gets the second check. And then she gets the third check for October. And she still is not thanking her father. For... So imagine that Allah sending you all of this and you're not thanking him. Okay. Prayer is to thank Allah. It's just a phone call to Allah to thank him. So basically it's like a phone call to your father to thank him. Okay. If you don't make a phone call to Allah to thank him five times a day, five times you call, then you're in trouble. What's the number that you call to reach to Allah? No. You know the number? That would be smart. No, number. Like, longer.
Oh, the phone number.
Yes, the phone number.
Allah.
No. It is. No, it is 24434.
Oh, I am.
Yes.
Yes,
Fajr is 2, Dhuhr is 4, Asr is 4, Maghrib is 3, Isha is 4. So that is the number you call on God. So, saying, Ya Allah, Alhamdulillah, Allah becomes angry if you don't make these calls and thank him. Because he's giving you, you're talking about a check, no, he's giving you more than just a check. He's giving you all these blessings and you're not calling to say thank you, you're in trouble. Okay? Now, imagine another thing. Imagine that now Hindani gets so mad and he decides to call her and says, Mom! How come? we can pick somebody else.
That's fine.
if you're not comfortable with it, how about if we pick you, Ayla?
Great.
And dear father, Ayla is going to say, Ayla, how come I send you all these checks and you never called me to say thank you? So now Ayla says, Daddy, I thank the male person who brings me the checks.
Uh-oh.
How does that sound?
That sounds bad.
Why is she saying, I thank the male person? She says, yeah, to my father, I see the male person knocking on my door, the door of Ayla, knocking on my door and say, here's the check. So I thank the male person who delivers the check. What's wrong with that? Huh?
You don't think the person who gave the check?
Yes, the check is coming from where? Who's the source of the check?
The father.
The father. And the male person is just delivery, right? So think of the male person as the cause for delivery. Okay? So think of it like you see someone giving you money. The money is coming from originally coming from who? Allah. So do you thank the person, the male person, or you thank Allah, Ayla?
Allah.
You thank who?
Allah.
Allah, not the male person. Why do you think, why are you confusing Allah with the male person?
Huh? Because we can see the male person and that means we believe in them, but we can't see Allah, which means that.
Takbir. Because we see the male person delivering the check, Ayla. So we see the male person delivering the check, so what happens? We thank that male person because that's what we see. But Allah is invisible, just like your father. He's behind, he's covered behind the male person. Allah is covered behind the natural causes of earning money. Like you work, you get a check. Who's the source of this check? Allah. Who gave you the health to work? Allah. Who gave you the knowledge to work? Allah. Who gave you the need for your knowledge, the employer? Allah. Who gave you everything? Allah. So, everything is coming to Allah. But we thank the person who delivers the check to us. All right. Now, we want to pick up on the third person. So, who volunteers to continue? So, Maham and Ayla. Let's pick. What's your name?
Hannah.
Hannah?
Oh, your dad.
Rushda.
Rushda? Okay. Let's pick on Hannah.
You're next.
Well, we'll find something to pick on her.
Okay.
Hannah. Now your father is calling you Matt, and you said you're thanking the male person, and we understand why, and we clarified that. But just imagine Hannah, her dad is calling, and then he said, why aren't you calling me to thank you for the check? Then you say, who are you? I am your father, the one who raised you. She says, huh?
You're
not my father. I was a monkey. And then I became a human.
What?
Yeah. Do you see it? So you're denying. So you say, I am your father, the one who changed your diapers. The one who did this and this and this to you, raised you. You know, all these good things. We are your parents who did this and this and this and that. And then you come at the end and you say that you were a monkey. And after a car accident, became a human.
Yeah.
Do you understand here? You understand the logic?
Yeah.
You understand the metaphor? You know what metaphor is?
Yeah.
Okay. So you understand it now? So, what do you think about praying now? You really should feel terrible if you don't pray. You really, because you're not making the phone calls. And if you're not making the phone calls, Allah is angry.
Yeah.
Allah is angry. Okay? All right. Now, the third pillar of Islam is? Yes. It's the third pillar is fasting Ramadan.
I thought that was the first one.
إقامة الصلاة لا إله إلا الله إقامة الصلاة إيتاء الزكاة.
Yeah,
صوم
رمضان. Is third, right?
Yes,
زكاة is third.
إيتاء الزكاة is third. So now, why? What about this? No, fasting Ramadan is third.
Fasting
yes.
Is fourth. No, fasting.
No.
Is fourth.
fasting to war. It goes from easiest to hardest to do. Paying zakat is easier than fasting
to war. Sawm Ramadan, Hajj al
Bayt.
Yeah, the Sawm comes first. If I'm not mistaken, the Sawm comes first. Okay. So.
No.
I think it's a third. It's a third.
Zakat's third.
Oh!
Zakat's third. Okay. Now, Zakat's third. What is Zakat? Pay what?
Money.
Money. For who?
Poor.
Poor and needy. Is it like taxes?
No.
No, it's not like taxes. It's money that goes from the poor, from the rich to the poor. Well, how much is the Zakat for money?
2.5%.
Can people pay play tricks to evade zakat?
No.
That's the, I mean, it's haram. It would be equivalent that they haven't paid the zakat. But there are ways. I'll give you examples. If you don't use something for a year, let's pay myself. What's your name?
Me.
Huh?
Me.
Yeah.
Hiba.
Hiba. If you, the rule says that if you don't use your jewelry for 1 year, then you have to pay zakat on them. But if you wear them and use them, you don't have to pay zakat, right? So now, HIPAA is going to make something, make a trick, okay? Before the year ends, maybe in the last day of the year, she wears her jewelry, just once. And then she puts them aside. So now they are not zakatable. You know zakatable? Means like to pay zakat on. They are not zakatable. So what you did here is that you played the trick. Okay? Because you understand, you try to evade zakat. So by wearing, just right before the year ends, you wear them once or twice and say, okay, I'm using them. Yes?
There's another way you can, if you have like a wallet of $100 and you're like, oh, it's 2.5%. And you just give it to the
Yeah, yeah, and it's really people find it hard, especially rich people. Like if somebody has $1 million, he's supposed to pay or she's supposed to pay $25,000 every year. $25,000 zakat every year. So people say, what, $25,000? This is too much.
Wait, so I have a question. So is zakat like the 2.5%? Does it also count like everything you own, like?
If you don't use it. And that's why I said she blazed the trick. Is that if you don't use her jewelry for a year, then they are zakatable. She has to pay zakat on them.
So everything you buy, like your furniture and your clothes and stuff, you don't have to pay zakat for them because use them?
Anything you use, not zakatable. So this is what she did. This is what the trick she did. Before the year ends, she used them once or twice. Okay? Why? To evade zakat. Now, if you do something with the intention of evading zakat, it would be like you exactly the same like somebody who didn't pay zakat. Yes?
Where should the zakat money go towards? Couldn't like go towards like animals or like...
No. Poor and needy and slaves, freeing slaves and all of these things. Prisoners of war. And this is how nice is Islam to prisoners of war, because they are eligible for zakat. So people give them money. This is to prisoners of war. Okay, so now there's another trick. People say diamond is not zakatable. Diamond is not zakatable. So what they do, they convert their money into diamond so that they can evade zakat. Because they say zakat is for money, gold, and blah, blah. So zakatable, diamond is not zakatable. Now, who said diamond is not zakatable? Diamond is zakatable if you don't use it for a year. If you don't use it for a year, then it's zakatable. Mm-hmm. But people play all these kinds of games, to evade zakat. Like if somebody has a euro, for example, money, then that person wants to evade zakat, so that person will say, okay, the euro is a debt. It's not a currency. It's a debt for the to the European Union, right? It's like they owe you that much. They owe you that many euros that you have in your hand. And that was another, if you have a debt, do you pay, if you loan somebody money, do you have to pay zakat on it?
No.
No. It counts when you get the money back. Then after a year, if you don't use it for a year. So what's the rule? If something is not being used for how long?
A year.
Then it is?
Zakat.
Zakat. What is the zakat on the oil?
Oil?
Yeah. 20%. So oil, iron, uranium, whatever you mines, zakat of mines is?
20%.
If the oil producing countries pay the zakat of the oil, then there will be no hungry person in the Muslim, in the Muslims. Because if they pay 20% of their oil income to poor and needy, there will be almost no poor and needy there. But they don't. Saudi Arabia don't pay the zakat of oil. Whatever Gulf country, they don't pay the zakat of oil. Okay? And that's when it becomes now haram. Yes, haram. How about farmers? What do farmers do? In the day of harvest, not after, the same day of harvest, they give 10% if they use, if the land is watered by rain. So if they have rain and the rain watered the plants, so they didn't have to water the plant themselves, like to get a bomb and water or a bucket and water the plants. If they don't have to do that, then they pay 10%. But if they have to do pump, if they have to use the bucket or pump to water the land, then it is what? 5%. 10%. 5% because they use spend money on watering the plants.
Does that have to be, you said it could be gold and like, but can it also be food? Like
yes, 10% of whatever food you're growing. Okay. Or 5%, whatever. And it has to be in the day of the harvest to put them aside.
So does that have to be like clothes,
food, money? Money, yes. Clothes, no.
So if I was donate clothes to like Goodwill, they would like...
This is charity. Doesn't count as zakat, charity. Okay? And charity is anything. Even a gift to your father is a charity. Okay? So charity is open, but zakat is a specific. Specific things you pay zakat for. Okay? Now, fasting during the month of Ramadan. You know, you're submissive, right? So you're either submissive to Allah or submissive to what? Submissive to Allah or submissive to temptations, right? So, Ramadan, you're so tempted to eat and drink. You're so tempted. Allah says, no food, no water, no romance during Ramadan, daytime, when you're fasting, okay? So now, it's you feel pain because you're hungry and thirsty. But because you love Allah and you're looking for Jannah and you are submissive to Allah, then you follow what Allah said. But if you're submissive to your temptations, then you follow your temptations and break your fast. Got that? There are a lot of benefits from Ramadan. That's why they call Ramadan is a learning institution. Learning institution, right? You learn from Ramadan. What do you learn? Number one, and very important, if you can stop yourself from eating and drinking. Eating and drinking, is it halal or haram?
Halal.
Halal. Okay. You can stop yourself from halal? Yes. Yes, I can stop myself from halal. Then, how come I can't stop myself from haram? If you have proven that you can stop yourself from halal, then it's much easier that you can stop yourself from haram. Got it? That's one. Two, it made you feel, how many times do you snack a day? Let's pick on somebody. Here, what's your name?
Rushda.
Rushda. How many snacks you take every day? How many times you snack?
Three. I know, I feel your
pain. I can't count. I can't count it. I go to the cupboard like more than how much I can count on my fingers. Like that's how much I go. But then there's not always something there, so I don't eat that much. But I always go and try to find something.
I know, right?
it's sad. I need to control myself.
I know.
Right. See? Now, by not able to snack, wouldn't you feel hungry?
Yes.
Yeah.
She will not feel hungry outside of Ramadan because she always checks to see if there's food or not.
Good job.
But during Ramadan, okay, she can't eat, so she feels hungry. Finally, she feels hungry. When she's hungry, what do you learn from this experience of being hungry? Do you learn about the poor and needy, right?
Yeah.
The poor and needy. So you feel that the poor and needy are fasting how long? How long they are fasting?
Every day of their lives.
24/7. Every day to them is fasting because they can't, don't have anything to eat or have very, very little to eat. They don't have you call it a cupboard?
Yeah.
They don't have a cupboard. I do check the cupboard too. Yeah. See something to snack on.
Yeah.
And I do pick up things to snack on. If not, I check the refrigerator.
Same.
Yeah, the freezer for ice cream.
Yeah, and check the freezer for ice cream. Yeah, all these things. Okay. So, no doodling, huh? Okay. Now, it also teaches you consciousness of Allah. It means what? The presence of Allah. Because imagine this. Imagine that I am fasting, okay? And then I pretend I'm fasting. And then when it's time to eat, I want to eat, then I sneak to the freezer, to the refrigerator. Eat and drink.
Oh God, that's me.
And everybody say, I'm fasting. Are you fasting? I'm fasting. How about you? You're fasting? I'm fasting. So, what's the problem there? You are, would I be able to tell you're fasting or not?
Well, you could. I mean,
if you're hiding
you
it.
Tell if their breath is bad.
No, it doesn't have to. You can brush before fasting and everything would be fine. But remember that I went to the refrigerator after what? Nobody saw me, but except
Allah.
So who's doing that? Honestly, who's doing that? Sneaking to the refrigerator in Ramadan?
No, I never do that.
Oh, okay.
Does doing it after it's time to break our fast count? After you break your fast, does that count?
If I'm not fasting,
oh yeah, I mean I'm talking about not sneaking. Yeah, I'm talking about fasting.
No. After Maghrib, when it's okay to eat now, then sometimes I go to the kitchen. I'm just so hungry.
Yeah, but that's fine. That's fine. Okay. So how much? What did you learn? What did you learn? Number one, feel hungry. And remember your poor fellow humans. Number two, you prove that you're submissive to Allah. Number three, Allah said, fasting, all the deed that a person does, okay, I is getting reward from it somehow. Except the fasting. Allah said, fasting is mine. And I pay for it. Nobody else pay for it. I pay for fasting. And that's a special thing. Why? Because nobody can ever tell you fasting or not. And you can even hide it, easy. Like, or you can fast. I mean, sometimes I hide fasting. Nobody knows I'm fasting. Just because I don't want anybody to know. So that it's sincere. It's like not telling anybody that I'm fasting. Okay? And sometimes I don't care. I just, whenever my wife says, hey, I come food, say I'm fasting. Or sometimes I say, no, I don't feel like eating. Okay? Why are you hiding it? To make it? sincere, very sincere to Allah. Make it a secret, secret between you and Allah. Okay, so now, how about Hajj? What do you think about Hajj? Okay. How about fasting? How about fasting, girls? I'm sorry, how about Hajj? Do people travel for leisure?
Yeah.
Yes. Leisure, travel for fun.
Business trips.
Well, okay, this is the second one. Do people travel for business?
Yes.
So they travel for fun, they travel for business. Do they travel to go to crowded places?
Yeah.
If they want to watch the World Cup, for example, do they have to go to stadiums?
Yes.
And those stadiums had thousands and thousands of people? Isn't that true? Okay. So, isn't that like Hajj? But Hajj you're traveling for?
Religious purposes.
For different purposes. Which is? Traveling for? Allah. Are you going to crowded places?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. One thing they say, and I need you to be careful about that and keep a good attention to it. Sometimes accidents happen in the Hajj places. Sometimes a big fire would kill 60, 70, 80,000 people. Sometimes a mistake on the traffic flowing, like one time they were crossing a tunnel, and at the end of the tunnel, there was a fire. So the people at the end of the tunnel wanted to run away from the fire. So they turned their body in the opposite direction, started walking. And the people who are coming in the opposite direction, they don't know that there is a fire, and they don't know that. So it became like those people are pushing those people like that, and people fell down and people died underfoot. Stampede. I don't know, they call it stampede, right? Okay. So people died. About 50,000 died.
But don't you go to Jannah anyways if you die during Hajj?
Yeah, you become Shaheed of Hajj. Yes. Yes.
When I went for Umrah, everyone wanted to touch the black stone because it's considered very honorable. And we weren't able to because it was really crowded. And when we were looking down from like one of the top floors, we could see that people were actually like
fighting.
They were like throwing each other and... They were literally like...
Yes. This is this is makruh. This is something makruh. I never touch the black stone unless it's Umrah time and it's empty.
Yeah.
You went Umrah Ramadan, right?
No, we went in December last year.
Oh, that's
December?
Why it's crowded. Because December vacation.
Christmas
time. Oh,
okay. Okay.
Lots of people go.
No, and it was crowded because the passports hadn't opened for over a year, so no one was like coming, and then all of a sudden they opened up all the like visas, and then everyone just went.
Yeah. Now, have you ever been to Hajj?
No, not
Hajj. Hajj is way harder than Umrah. Way harder. So.
We did it all night.
Okay.
Okay.
So people say, this is a dangerous trip. People die. How come people die when they are doing it for the sake of God? I'm done, Zainab. Okay, so go ahead.
Their death is sort of like a mercy because they're definitely going to go to Jannah because
it's Jannah. But people who are not believers, they say, "Look at you! You go for your God, and look what happened to you. You're burning." And I think last year or something, there was a crane that fell down and killed people.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, "Look, you go for your God. God made a crane fall on your head." They use it against us, but they need to know, and you need to know, that Allah did not promise to suspend the laws of nature. The laws of nature during Hajj is the same. Like, if you don't plan it well, if you don't make sure the traffic is smoothly, is going smoothly, if you don't do that, then people will die. Why? Because that's, Allah did not say to anybody, I'm going to suspend the laws of nature. Another scenario like this that I need you guys also to pay attention to, when there was a masjid in the nearby city that was burned. So the guy who, one of the Muslims say, I don't know how come the masjid is burned. It's the house of Allah. How could it be burned? It's like, okay, do you see the message here? It's like, this is the house of God that's burning. God should have protected it, right? God should have protected it, right? Okay. God did not promise to protect any masjid except
Masjid al-Haram.
Masjid al-Haram. You go, an army goes there to destroy the masjid, not to fight. To destroy the masjid. To destroy the Kaaba. Okay? Allah is going to take care of them. Because He only provided protection to that, special protection. Anywhere else, the laws of nature, just up to the laws of nature. You don't have fire sprinklers, then you are going to maybe have a fire.
You don't have a what? Fire sprinklers.
That, you know, makes you wet during the... Yes, that thing, exactly. You see? So the sprinklers, if you don't have them, then your masjid is going to burn. If you come to the masjid and you like set the masjid on fire, would Allah stop you? No. Only if it's haram, it's the Kaaba. Other than Kaaba, no protection. So people say, oh, I don't know how God let it burn, and even though it's His house. That's dumb argument, but I've heard it with my own ears. Coming from a guy, simple-minded guy, who's after the masjid was burned, who's a Muslim. After the masjid burned. And he's saying that. And the non-Muslims heard him saying that. So they was like, okay, then you guys are wrong. Just like they say, this is an eye-opener for you, to open your eyes and see that your faith is false. Why? Because God has let His people who are doing Hajj burn, and let the masjid burn. Got it? So, now the people who die in Hajj, they are resurrected in the Day of Judgment, making labbaik Allahumma labbaik, making talbiyah. You know when you do Hajj, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk, la sharika laka labbaik. Or you can do labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Labbaik means we came to you and we came for your sake. We came for your sake. Whenever somebody calls on you in Arabic, say maham. Okay, when I say maham, what do you do? What do you say? You can say labbaik teacher. Labbaik teacher means like, yes, I come to you. When I say Ayla, come here. And then she comes. She says labbaika teacher. Labbaika means I am coming because you asked me to come. Right? So when you are in Hajj, you say labbaika Allahumma labbaik means that I am coming because you asked me to come. What if I call Ayla, I say Ayla come, and she doesn't do labbaik? Would I be mad or not? See? So, if Allah is telling the people, labbaik, labbaik, I'm sorry, if the people, Allah is calling the people, come, 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 and they don't do labbaik, then what's wrong? Then that's wrong. Just like the adhan, when you say, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, means that success be in prayers, success be in prayers. You answer this call by going to the masjid or whatever place and you make prayers. You got this part? So I need you to be alert to this particular point. Okay. Now, the pillars of worship, do they have to do with heart? Yes or no? Or do they have to do with muscles?
Heart.
Do they require you to do something?
Yes.
Yes. How about pillars of faith? Do they require you to do something?
No.
No. Pillars of faith is always believe, 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 believe. The pillars of Islam says do, 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 do. So pillars of Islam is what? Do, 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 do. Pillars of faith, what? Believe, 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 believe. You got it? So, which one comes? What if you do good deeds without belief? Because you're tempted to do. A lot of people don't believe and they are tempted to do good deeds, right? Do you know people who don't? Who don't believe in God, atheists, and do good deeds?
Yeah.
And are honest?
Yeah.
Okay. Those are doing this because they are tempted to do that way. Okay? They are being tempted to do. Okay. Now, Islam and faith comes to make, to kind of pressure the people who are not tempted to do. So if I'm not tempted to fast, for example, because I don't like fasting. However, because of my faith, I do fast. You understand? I'm honest. I mean, I am honest. I'm a dishonest person. I'm tempted to be dishonest. But because I pray, because I believe, I become honest. You understand? So, do you have to do, there are various combinations. The right combination is what? And believe and do. Allah says, those who believe. Do you imagine how many times in the Quran Allah said, those who believe and act? Those who believe and act. So many times. I can't tell you how many times. Believe and act. Believe and act. So Allah says, believe and act. Believe and act. Those are the right combination. If you act without belief, then is Allah, do Allah owe you anything? No. Because you're acting because you're tempted to act. Right? You're not really pressuring yourself there. Okay? What if you believe and not act?
No.
No. Why it becomes what? Hypocrisy. Becomes hypocrisy. So what is hypocrisy? To believe and not act. So you have to believe and act on the five pillars. How about not believe and not act? That's becoming like a Satan, sort of. It's like a bad person who don't believe and don't act. So, doesn't believe and doesn't act. Doesn't do good deeds. Doesn't believe and doesn't do good deeds. Is always following his or her temptations. So the right combination is to believe and act. How about if you act? Now talk about act. You said believe and act. There's a third thing with the right intention. So believe and act with? Right intention. If you act without the right intention, then what happens?
Doesn't count.
And this is why they say all people are losers except the one who know Allah. Except the one who know Allah. And all the ones who know Allah are losers except the ones who practice what they know. And all the ones who practice what they know are losers except the ones who sincere in their intention. Do you see? The big circle is everybody. So, everybody's losers except the ones who have the knowledge of Allah, about Allah and about religion. All the people who have knowledge about Allah and religion are losers except the one who practice their... Do you see the circles? The one who practice their knowledge. And all the one who practice their knowledge are losers except the ones who doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah. Not for the sake of show off, okay, or sake of recognition. Okay, so it comes like this. Here, no. This first circle is no, to know. And this one, to act. And this one, be sincere. Can you write them down? So, to know, to act, to be sincere. Okay. And those are the righteous ones, the ones who are being saved. All right. Any cues? Questions? If you give me a Q, I give you an A. If you give me a good Q, I give you an A+. All right? Okay. We'll see you next week, inshallah.